Good morning, church. As Sharon so wisely pointed out, that even when the pastor is gone, the church family continues to function as a healthy body. Praise God for that. Amen. You have no idea how wonderful my vacation was, knowing that the church is healthy and strong, and God is blessing, continuing to bless. We're back in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've had 2 weeks to reminisce, to think, to pray, to look at the book of Ecclesiastes over and over. I've read it. And from this, I have learned many important lessons. I never thought that the book of Ecclesiastes would have so much to preach on. So today we're going into Ecclesiastes, the sixth chapter. As you well know, the book was written by a wealthy king, King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And as we read the passage this morning, you see that even when a person is wise, even when someone has everything that they need, all their needs supplied, they still wonder. They wonder about the future. They wonder about what will happen when they pass on. They wonder what will be the plight of their family, what will happen to the world around them after they are gone. Specifically this morning, I want to address the idea or the concept of feeding your appetite and starving your soul. Most of us have really no problem feeding our appetites. And I'm not talking about when you sit down at the table. That's certainly one aspect of... But we have appetites for many things. And so often it's easy to get into stress eating. This isn't a 12-step group, so I'm not going to see if anybody wants to raise their hand and say, I've got that problem. Stress eating, compulsive buying, escaping into television, living out our fantasies through lives of other people that we see on television, the shows that the media is so willing to present to us, or maybe just simply zoning out in front of the television. I've called it my personal... description of the television is a brain drain. I've been without a television for about 2.5 months. At first, I didn't know if I could live without it. I need to see the news. Got to see it every day. I need to know what's happening. And then after a while, I began to realize that, well, maybe I didn't need to see the news. The news was important, and so when I needed to see it, I would go online and I would watch the important elements of the news online. And I found out that I really didn't need, didn't even need the television. Even though I recently got one for Father's Day, it made me realize how easy it is to just sort of zone out or to escape into another world. Escapism is something that we so easily get caught up in, and there are many different ways, as I've mentioned, that we can do that. Solomon had a problem. Solomon was, even though he was a wise man, he was constantly acquiring things. He needed more and more and more. We needn't get into all the examples that we find in his life. But the idea of God needing to have more, got to have it, got to have more. An unquenchable obsession to having more and more. They tell me that if you want to make a lot of money, you need to own a storage business where people store things. There's a lot of money in that. People have so much stuff. Their attics are full. Their garages are full. They have little sheds beside their homes. Those are full. And now they rent storage space to put more of their things. Not too long ago, when my mother-in-law came to live with us for a period of time, our house just got too full of things, and so we had to rent a small storage space, and it's incredible how expensive those things are. And we were thinking about trying to not have to make that payment every month. And so I started asking the family. I wasn't the one that put the stuff in there, so I have no idea what's in there. And I started asking, does anybody know what's in there? No. Nobody knows what's in there. Nobody needs what's in there, but it's in there. $50 a month for something we don't even know what's in there. So it's going to have to go soon. Now let me ask you a question. Answer the, or just fill in the blank here. If I could just have blank, I would be happy. If I could just have, think about it, what it is that you need to have that will make you happy. Okay, now repeat this after me. Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we say? Isn't that what we've been told? Solomon was a wise man. So I asked this morning, what wisdom can we gain from Solomon this morning, from the book of Ecclesiastes? Now remember that he's the guy that's done it all. He's been there and he's done that. Everything. So he's smart, he's experienced, and he's full of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. We're going to learn some lessons from Ecclesiastes this morning, chapter 6. Lesson number 1 is this. Here it is. Listen carefully. God gives you wealth and possessions, but you don't have time to enjoy it. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. God gives you wealth and possessions, but you don't have time to enjoy it. That's a big bummer, isn't it? Let me give you an illustration. Many years ago, and I have to start saying many years ago. I used to say a few years ago. Now it's many years ago. I'm a grandfather now, see, so I need to start talking like that. You know, a long time ago when I was just a little boy, you know, long, long before there was cars and airplanes. I had a friend, and he was a very successful race car driver. I've known this man for about 30 years. And over the years, as I've talked with him, as I visited him at his business, he would show me all the things that he had. He would take me into his big museum. He had a museum. He specialized in antique cars, and especially sports cars, and more specifically Porsches. Had some very, very rare Porsches. And he would show each car to me and describe each car and tell me how much he paid for each car. And over the years, his wealth grew. And he became a very successful businessman. But all these things that he had, all the fancy motorboats, all the powerboats, all the big fishing boats, all the cars, all the money, all the businesses, he was not really able to appreciate or to enjoy them. Because in one of the races, when he was young, he was crippled. But he still had everything. And it was important to him because he had all these things. And I'm still praying for him. I'm still praying that at some point in his life, somewhere in his life, he will come to the realization that having all these things will not bring happiness. I also know that he spends his evenings often and his weekends drowning himself in alcohol. Many times I have called him on the phone and prayed with him. And I pray someday he will accept Jesus Christ. We see it all the time. We see it in the media. We see it in the news. People, movie stars, rock stars, wealthy sports figures, people who have it all, seemingly have the money to buy anything they want, and yet they're still not satisfied. They're still searching. Huh. Lesson number 2. And this is Solomon again. Enjoyment of life does not reside in having and owning more. Okay? Lesson number 2. Enjoyment of life does not reside in having and owning more. If God gives a gift, now listen to this, if God gives you a gift, then thank Him for it. Thank Him for what He's given you. And remember that if God withholds something, if God has withheld something, no amount of effort is going to extract enjoyment from it. That's what Solomon is saying. If God hasn't given it to you, all the clamoring, all the pushing, and all the shoving is not going to ever bring enjoyment into your life. True satisfaction and enjoyment. Solomon here is also saying the only things that we truly enjoy are those that God gives us. Now, have you found that true in your life? Have you? The things that really bring true enjoyment and true satisfaction are those things that God has given to you. You have no idea how excited I was when God gave our family a little baby. Little baby boy. I got to hold him, well, not minutes after he was born, but at least they waited until they cut the umbilical cord, and then I got to hold him. And he was so tiny and so small and so fragile and so incredibly beautiful that for me, that moment that I held little Sean was like a spiritual experience. It was incredible. It was as if I had come in touch with the Creator Himself. Those of you that are moms and dad know what I'm talking about. Those of you that have held little ones in your arms and looked at their tiny little fingers and their tiny little feet and tiny little noses, tiny little eyes. You know how incredible that is, how beautiful that is. Remember, the only things that we truly enjoy are those that God gives us. Well, think about that for a minute. Name a few of those in your head. I'm sure all of us have been blessed by God. So often we think that blessing means, well, we have a lot of money. You know, we have a lot of things. God's blessed me with a lot of money. God's blessed me with a lot of things. You know, this whole idea is so contrary to the spirit of the modern material world. Because the advertisers, they hold out an object to us, and they say, you need this. You got to have it. You can't live without it. Now, this is the one that really gets me. You deserve it. Huh? You heard that one? You deserve to have it. You owe it to yourself to own it. Go out and get it. Go out and buy it. Work harder so you can have it. Well, I think there was in the old days a song, you deserve a great today, so get up and get away. Was it to McDonald's? What does McDonald's have to do with with joy and happiness? You deserve it. But this flies in the face of the biblical concept, the things that we believe as Christians. Think about this. We don't deserve anything. We do not deserve anything. With that in mind, lesson number 3. True enjoyment and gratitude only come when we do not deserve something, but we get it anyway. Are you following? True enjoyment. Solomon is saying this, folks. He's a wise man. You just said it. He's the wisest man that ever lived, okay? True enjoyment and gratitude only come when we do not deserve something, but we get it anyway. Isn't that the motto of the plan of salvation? Isn't that what it's all about? We did not deserve, and yet while we were sinners, Christ came and what? Died for us.
And because he died for us, we are given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Think about it for just a moment here. We're talking about appetite, so let's go back. What is your favorite food? Think about it. Just for a minute. Didn't take long, did it? Your favorite food, okay? Now, try to count how many times you've eaten that favorite food. All right? Can't, can you? It brings pleasure, doesn't it? Just thinking about it. And I know you're hungry. Just thinking about it brings pleasure. Oh, hot chocolate fudge over ice cream with a brownie. Mmm, that's good. A bag of nachos. Crunchy nachos. Hot sauce. Mmm, that's good, huh? How about Olive Garden? All I have to say is Olive Garden, right? I know there's a whole bunch of you going, yeah, let's go right now. Let's go. Olive Garden. Mmm, all the good stuff they make there. Let me ask you this question. How far would you drive to have your favorite food? How far would you drive? How far out of your way would you go? Okay. Some of you have your favorite food at the potlucks. If we were charging, what would you pay? Special K roast. Huh? How much would you pay? All right? And, of course, there used to be a saying that I believe Lay's potato chips used to say, bet you can't only eat one. You ever tried that? See, now that's my favorite food. I love potato chips, but I'm not supposed to eat them. Too much salt, so I have to buy the ones without salt. But you can't only eat one, can you? If you got a bag sitting there in front of you and you had a stressful day, guess what? You find yourself eating potato chips and not even thinking about it. Because they're good. And they make you feel good. But there's a curious repetition in food cravings. Think about it. You crave it. You eat it. Gives you pleasure. You get full. Isn't that the cycle? Then you're hungry again. You crave it again. You crave it, you eat it, you get pleasure, and you get full. And that cycle goes on and on. And some of you are laughing. You know exactly what I'm talking about because I'm talking about myself here too. All right? Lesson number four. This leads us to lesson number four. Whatever you try to satisfy the craving of your soul will eventually lead to an empty, hollow feeling. Okay? Whatever you try to satisfy the craving of your soul with eventually will lead to an empty, hollow feeling. And what Solomon is saying here in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 is simply this. Stuff never satisfies. Stuff never satisfies. I don't care if it's the latest motorboat, or if it's a bag of potato chips, or if it's whatever it is that you crave, whatever it is you have to have, stuff will never satisfy your soul. I saw an example of it today. Somebody, unbelievable. Coming down here, there was a motorhome next to me, and I took some time passing it because I can't use the word envious, but I was really thinking to myself, Lord, you could bless me in those ways if you wanted to. There was this beautiful, it was called a Presidio motorhome. It had the hydraulic little rooms that come out of the side. I don't know what they call those extensions. And it had a big trailer it was pulling. This is a nice diesel, and it was just moving along at about 65, 70 miles an hour. And pulling. And behind this motorhome was this incredible trailer. I've only seen a few of them. It had on the top a Ski Nautique Denton, okay, the latest one, with all the bells and whistles on it, okay, with a big rack, ski rack with the speaker stereos and all that stuff. And it had, this was on the top. Now, on the bottom, underneath it, were two little quad runners, brand spanking new. I mean, they looked like they just came off the showroom. Two quad runners, two dirt bikes, two wave runners. Okay? But this was on one trailer. I figured it in my head. We're probably talking over $100,000 at least on that trailer. Okay? Not to mention the motorhome. But what was incredible about this was that there was a bumper sticker. And it said, "We are using up our children's inheritance money." I thought to myself, now isn't that the epitome? And I don't know where they were going, and I don't know where they were coming from, but they're still looking for something to fill the hole in the soul. And as long as you're looking to fill that hole with things, with material things, or with eating, or with whatever else that brings you pleasure, if you're trying to fill that hole in your soul with things, you will never be satisfied. Now, mind you, I'm not saying you can't have those things. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about if things replace your relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're filling the hole in your soul. Jesus said it well in Matthew 5, verse 6, says, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for motorhomes." Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will what? Be filled. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness will fill the hole in your soul. And as a pastor, I have worked over the years with 12-step groups. I have worked over the years with numerous dozens and dozens of people, Christian people, who are stuffing their lives with things, who are wandering across the face of this earth, going here, going there, buying this, buying that, owning this, owning that, and they still have a great big hole in their soul because they haven't filled it with Jesus Christ. And your soul's just like a bucket with holes in it. The more you pour in it, the more that pours out. But Jesus can come in and can fill that hole in your soul. He can heal whatever it is that makes you crave those things that don't satisfy your life. Lesson number 5 that we can learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Life is short. Don't get comfortable. Becoming a grandfather has an interesting phenomena for me, an interesting experience for me. That's one of the stages in life I've never seen myself in. And I never really asked for it, because it's not one of those things that you have any control over, is it? So when I held that little one in my arms, I suddenly bonded. And when I bonded, I realized now that I was a grandfather, there was another aspect to my life, another chapter that needs to be written. So life is short. And I looked into the eyes of that little newborn baby. I said to myself, nothing that I own is more important than this little life. Nothing. I would trade it all. I would throw it all away for this little guy. Life is short. Don't get too comfortable. C.S. Lewis said, "All that is not eternal is eternally useless." You hear that? All that is not eternal is eternally useless. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen." As Christians, we place our faith in the promise that Jesus has something better for us. We're just passing through. What we have here on this earth, God gives us. We need to thank Him for it. And we need to appreciate it. We need to share it. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. What more can we ask for? What in your life is so important that you would give it up? That you would trade it for eternal life? Yeah, Solomon talks a lot about life being just a wisp, just smoke. Everything that we have, everything that we own, everything that we are, we owe it to God. It's His. And all we can do is thank Him for it and give it back to Him.